Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 34 of Bacon Smiles Podcast. This time, we're going to start off without any audio problems. But as always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Woo!
This is cool. This is like the third time I've seen you in a week.
Yeah.
I've gotten used to seeing you every other week. This is nice, though. This is a nice treat.
Yeah, yeah. So before I get the breakdown, just want to shout out a couple of dates so that everyone has them. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this, or if you're watching live, write these down. September 24th is the annual fall festival at Sacred Heart Parish in Bloomfield. It's a car cruise, it's a chili contest, it's all that stuff. So if you're interested in any of that, just go. Have fun.
Yeah.
You can look up the address. You can look up the flyers on the website. Just look up Sacred Heart Parish in Bloomfield, mm-hmm. Connecticut. Also, meet and greet October 14th. So we'll talk a little bit more about what that is and what it is, like what happens there a little later right. In the podcast. But I just wanted to get those dates out there. You got anything?
I just had our catechist retreat over the weekend. That was great. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was just looking to make sure we didn't have any other announcements.
Oh, I gotcha. Really I gotcha. Yeah.
Roll in. All right. So I almost had a daughter this week.
Really?
So I'll talk about that. Also, because of that, I can tell you about the power of prayer. So you're going to talk about your catechist retreat at St.
Yeah.
Teresa's of Calcutta.
That's Parish. Correct, yeah.
I'm not going to get used to that.
That's a mouthful.
And then, yep, meet and greet right here on my handy-dandy list.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you got music.
Absolutely.
Right. Scripture of the day is John 3:13-17. So that means like the most popular scripture in the world,
mm-hmm.
John 3:16,
yeah.
is going to be a part of our scripture of the day. Saint of the day, Saint Notburga, patroness of the poorest of the poor. So
okay.
is our saint of the day. And then you got a pretty awesome story about the news of the weird.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Let's get into this. All right. Got my list.
It's a big list.
So on Monday, Eva and I went into the doctor's. She's on weekly visits now.
Yeah.
And her blood pressure was through the roof.
Oh, no.
Like, crazy high. So they're like, we got to bring you right to the hospital. Or not bring you, but you guys need to go right to the hospital. Luckily enough, the office that we're at is in Hartford, like essentially across the street from Hartford Hospital.
Okay.
So real easy, go park the car, go upstairs. And of course, by the time we get into the room, she's already relaxing more and more, and everything's good. Everything's totally fine. All things are good. But between finding out that her blood pressure was super high and worried that they're going to have to induce and it can be scary when her blood pressure is that high. I'm like texting everyone I can think of like,
yeah.
hey, pray for Eva and the baby. We're having a scary time right now. Super high blood pressure may have to induce. Here's what's going on. And I just get this rapid response. Part of my meet and greet planning crew, there's a priest in there, and yeah. he's like, I got you, don't worry about it.
Wow.
And so then the last time this type of scare happened, I was in Vermont. And so Dave, Terry, Mike Falbo, and I were just in a prayer circle praying the rosary, and yeah. said our decade of the rosary, and we're just praying, you
yeah.
know? And so that worked. So Eva was like, make sure you text Dave and Terry because yeah. that worked last time. So I did. I messaged them and was like, hey, guys, if you could pray. And, of course, Terry was on it. Like, immediately sent back, you know, on it, praying, Holy Mother, we got this, you
yeah.
know. And so between the time of being in the doctor's office, getting into the hospital, so many people are praying. So many people are just like hounding the Holy Mother.
Right.
to take care of Eva. You know, her blood pressure just right down to normal levels.
That's
crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's so funny because at that point they don't really know, like, oh, well, we shouldn't induce because everything's good. The baby's good on the monitor. We're there for a couple hours. testing her blood, testing, making sure, you know, where everything should be, you know, for the labs and stuff.
Yeah.
And it worked out. They scheduled us again. We actually went there this afternoon, and it was the same type of thing. Like, oh, if your blood pressure's high again, you might have to induce you. Get there, totally fine. Like, yeah. No problem at all with her blood pressure. And the doctor's like, we don't really know what to do with you. Like, you know, they're calling it gestational hypertension, which means it's hypertension caused by pregnancy. But they're like, but that would normally be like steady high.
Yeah.
Like she went, like anyone out there who knows blood pressure ratios, her blood pressure on Monday was 160 over 110. That's like danger zone for any human being, let alone a pregnant woman.
Mm.
So that's huge. And today it was like 112 over 60 or something like that. Like, it's crazy. Just the difference.
Right.
So everything else is good. And today was great. And so the doctor's just like, because of the diagnosis of hypertension, we would normally induce latest next Monday, you know. But if everything stays good, there's no real reason to do that.
Right.
So now it's just kind of like the waiting game. Like, hopefully she'll just naturally go into labor and everything will be good. But I can tell you from my experience this week, if you ever wonder if prayers work, you get
there's proof right there.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Just you think about the fact that, like, it was like super crazy levels of blood pressure, and then just like boom.
Yeah.
Like normal levels, you know, you can watch them gradually come down.
Wow.
Yeah, just amazing.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So that was it's a scary time, but just super, super thankful. So I want to make sure I thank, you know, everyone who received a text from me and a message from me, and everyone who's just continued to pray throughout Eva's pregnancy. Just, I'm super thankful for all of you. It's just, it means the world to both of us, all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really, really, really excited to be parents, and really glad that we have such amazing prayer warriors out there that will continue just to keep praying for us. So just kind of roll into, because I mentioned meet and greet. So Monday was the planning meeting for meet and greet and to get everything going. And so that morning, we're texting back and forth what time and everything. And then I text into the group, like, hey, pray for Eva. And
yeah.
Like, the whole group is like, well, I guess we'll see how dedicated Steve is to meet and greet.
Yeah.
So it's one of my friends is like, man, you're going to have a baby and come with us to meet and greet planning? That might be the greatest day of all time. So this is a super long text and everything. Of them, like, basically, like, hey, guys, I think Steve's going to be late.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But, so, on Monday, we nailed down a lot of things. So, it's definitely October 14th. I know I mentioned that last time. I know I've mentioned it on here for those of you who listen to all the episodes. But this is for people who might not listen to all of them. Meet and Greet is a men's ministry. Happens twice a year, spring and fall. Basically is a way for men to get together for fellowship and food and silliness and just an awesome, awesome day of fun and faith and everything like that. So we've done crazy things, toilet tossing and chicken catching, and we built a 2x4 cannon and all that stuff. So
doesn't Sean Forrest hold a record?
Oh, yeah. Here? Longest toilet toss in the history of mankind, or at least meet and greet, is Sean Forrest, like, by 44 feet or something like that. We did count the roll and the bounce, but that's still ridiculous.
You basically lined it up right to the dent in the ground, right?
Yeah. My thing is, it's just crazy. That's ridiculously far. Anyone who's ever, like, renovated a bathroom or had to, like, put down new flooring or anything knows how heavy a toilet is when you move it.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just crazy.
Yeah. 44 feet.
Yeah. Ridiculous. So, but there's lots of fun, lots of food. We cook, like, 40-something pounds of bacon. every time. And then, yeah, it gets eaten. So
yeah.
It's just crazy to think about. So if you're interested in that at all or want more information, just reach out to me, steve@baconsmiles.org. You can reach out to me. You can comment in the comment section on our Facebook, my Instagram, my Facebook, all that stuff. Because it's important for us men to get together and show that we're not alone as being good, faithful men. Like, it's just a... You want to know one of the biggest failings in our world today is men. We're not living up to our role as fathers. We're not living up to our role in families. We need to bring that back. We need to be good men of Christ. And that starts with us. And the family should start with the father. Mothers are amazing, and they're taking on bigger roles than they're supposed to, because as men, we're falling short. And so that's what Meet and Greet is about. It's about just getting together and knowing that, like, if you're the father who does that extra mile, who does everything they can, you're not alone. And then you can also be that example to maybe someone who's struggling, who's struggling to try to balance the life, the daily life, and the values of Christianity. Maybe that's what it is, but I'm telling you, it's important to get together as men. Mm-hmm. And this men's ministry, it's a fun way of doing that. And there's a speaker every time. You're going to learn, you're going to talk, you're going to just be filled, you know? So it's important. But that meet and greet is awesome.
And delicious.
And delicious and just fun. So if you're interested in any level and you're worried, just you want to know more about it, you're worried about, like, is it for you? If you're a dude, it's for you. Trust me.
Yeah.
get-togethers.
Speaking of get-togethers and retreats of sorts.
Yeah, how was your catechist retreat?
It was good. We had a retreat at the Lodge in Tolland, which I've been to at least once before. Looked very different for me because last time I went, it was snowing.
Oh, wow.
But just gorgeous. I got to run into a bunch of our friends at church and just kind of catch up a little bit and play some games and just kind of get back centered into the routine of doing youth ministry again after a couple months of vacation time.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see some new faces, nice to see some faces of people coming back. And we also have some new, I think they're college kids, but young adults coming in and doing some youth ministry catechist teaching as
awesome.
Well. So it's good to see, like I said, some familiar faces and some new faces as well.
And it was all grades? Like,
yeah, we had everyone that was teaching elementary school, middle school, and high school there. So it was nice to connect with them as well, because a lot of times with our meetings and our youth group events, it's very, very high school oriented. But it's nice to see everyone and see both ministries and go, you know, we're all here to do the same thing. We're all trying to get our kids excited about this.
Yeah.
And so it was cool to see everyone there.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I had a very similar experience at Sacred Heart. I was there for their catechist meeting before the year rolled out for religious ed. And it's just so amazing to me that they have not had a youth minister there in such a long time, that they're all just, like, super thrilled and excited at the opportunity of having something to keep kids involved.
Right.
And they're all fired up. They're all just, they're all great women, except for me, and Deacon Rich, who is the confirmation teacher right now. And they're like, how do we get men? How do we get men involved? Like, how did you get involved? And I'm just like, well, you gotta get them young. Right out of high school, stayed essentially with youth ministry, with a break a little bit for college, but then right back in when I came back local. It's pretty amazing to think about, like, where I was to where I've come from and everything, and to think about the fact that now I have this awesome opportunity to really get something started at Sacred Heart.
Right.
And, you know, that's, you know, an open invitation. If any of you know anybody in the Bloomfield area, That's looking for a church to go to. There has been some church closings and stuff in that area. So if you're looking for a Catholic church or any church, really, give Sacred Heart a try, or, you know, come see me. I'm normally there for 10:15 Mass on Sundays. So if you have kids in high school looking for a youth group to attend or something like that, just reach out to me, because we're going to have some stuff going for junior high and high school, and looking to put together some mission trips and some retreats and everything like that. So if any of you out there have family in the Bloomfield area, or some of you who are willing to make the trip to Bloomfield, Connecticut, come see me. Monsignor Clancy is amazing, amazing priest. His homilies are awesome. Even the deacons there just give these amazing homilies that just tie in the reading so well. It's just so awesome. I'm really, really happy with my experience there so far. So,
and you guys have the fall festival coming up too, with the car show and everything. Yeah. So there's an opportunity for people to come by and check out your church.
That's just such an awesome thing too. And the whole thing is, so yeah, there's just so many things. And yeah, some of the stuff like silent auctions and stuff like that, it costs a little bit of money, but it actually helps to put on next year's. So all the money that's raised is literally to help put on this event. It's not going, it's not a way to fundraise for the church. It's really not. It's a way of keeping this event going, getting that community outreach and that fun and that everything. There's a photo booth, a bouncy house, and a DJ booth, and all this stuff, and car crews, $300 prize to the first place winner of the chili contest. Like, I think they're still looking for judges. So anyone out there who is looking to judge a chili contest, reach out. There's a contact us page on the ministry church website. So if you're looking to become a professional chili judge,
put that on your resume and your Twitter bio.
Yeah, right there on your business card.
Professional chili judge. Done it once, can do it again.
Yeah, so it's just stuff like that, man. I'm just like, I'm thrilled and ecstatic and just super pumped about this. It's like amazing new things happening.
Yeah.
You know, I'm about to have a child, just starting a new youth ministry at a new parish, and just big things.
A lot of brand new.
Yeah, just so great. Just thrilled. Awesome.
Cool.
What do you got for music?
Well, we were talking about this right before the podcast. Coming up this Sunday at the Big E, big exhibition, or I think it's called
Eastern Exposition.
Exposition.
Eastern States Exposition?
I think so, yeah, up in West Springfield. They have For King and Country coming and performing Sunday night on their big stage.
That's
awesome. The concert is free with admission to the Big E. So if you're planning on going up this weekend, consider going up on Sunday and get there early to get a seat to the arena, because once it fills, they turn people away.
Oh, man.
But
and then they are a great show.
Yeah. My little sister got to see her first For King and Country concert this summer at Soul Fest. Couldn't find her socks afterwards. They're just knocked off. But just phenomenal guys, great message, and theatrical.
Yeah,
in a good way.
In an awesome way. The drums, everything, the jumping around,
lasers.
The stage. Yeah, it's just, you know, they put on a great show. So.
Yeah, and they talk about a lot about respecting women and how, you know, we as men, kind of like you were talking about with meet and greet.
Yeah, I mean that's a whole nother part where men are failing.
Right, just we need to step up and
be better versions of ourselves. Somehow, some way, men along the way have convinced women that modesty is not something that's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is, I'm just going to go off on a small tangent. I'm going to try to keep it. when women put on makeup and wear tight, form-fitting dresses and stuff like that, and they say to you, well, I do it for me so that I look good. Somehow they have bought into that. But that's for men to look at them. And somehow men have created that motto of, no, I do it for me.
Yeah.
That mindset of, no. I curl my eyebrows. I put on fake eyebrows or fake eyelashes. I, you know, trim my eyebrows and do all this primping and pop and circumstance of dressing a certain way and making their, you know, making men look at them, and somehow they have that mindset of, oh, I do it for me. I just don't find that to be accurate.
Right.
You may believe that now, though, because somehow we have made you buy into that. We have made you buy into the fact that we are only attracted to women who dress a certain way, that we have made you buy into that. And, again, that's how we are failing as men. And you need to have, as men, we need to have custody of our eyes, regardless of the modesty of a woman. And that's on men. Men, that is, you have to have custody of your eyes. You need to be able to control yourself and avert your eyes in immodest situations. But in all honesty, that's a huge thing. Respecting women, they are not an object. They should not be objectified. They should not be oogled or ogled or however you say that word. They should be treated as such, as amazing children of God. So it's,
and that's why it's so refreshing when I see people post, like women post pictures on Instagram where they're doing like hashtag no makeup day or something like that, and oh, this is so empowering. It's like, well, yeah, because you're being yourself.
Yeah.
And feeling comfortable in that because no one's telling you you have to wear this in order for people to appreciate you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It is great when you see like women just okay going out in a sweatshirt and sweatpants to go to the grocery store, because you shouldn't have to dress up to go to the grocery store.
Right.
Like, you just shouldn't.
I love a good late night going to the store wearing sweatpants and just going,
yeah,
you know what? I'm going to Walmart. I don't need to dress up.
No, and that's, you're going to end up on one of those People of Walmart videos.
I probably am.
Don't look those up.
No, please don't. But for everything else music, Cody Carnes, speaking of women, he's married to Carrie Jobe, who's going to be coming to New Haven pretty soon.
She's pretty great.
Yeah. Cody Carnes is a worship leader in Texas, and he's got a new project coming out this Friday called The Darker the Night, The Brighter the Morning. Worship band The Planet Shakers have their album Legacy coming out this weekend as well. And as I had mentioned last weekend, which Eva will probably go, woo, Thousand Foot Crutch putting out their live project this weekend as well. And then next weekend, some two big releases. Matthew West has his new project All In coming out, and Lecrae has his project All Things Work Together dropping next Friday as well.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Yeah, Eva was listening to Thousand Foot Crutch Radio on Spotify the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she's a huge fan.
Maybe that explains the high blood pressure. All the head banging and all the feels.
All right, so let's jump right in to our
scripture reading.
Scripture of the day here. Read it right off of my handy-dandy phone.
Woo.
All right. No, that's not the right one. There we are. Got it. All right. So the gospel, according to John, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except for the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that so that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Isn't that just, that's so great.
Yeah.
And it was funny because as we were doing the reading before starting the podcast, it was like, haven't you done that before? And I'm pretty sure we definitely talked about this reading before on the podcast, but it is so great to read it again and again and again. God didn't come down to earth
as to bring people Jesus, down and
to be like, them. You guys are terrible. Like, all right, everyone yeah. line up. Let me tell you what's yeah. wrong with each and every one of you. You, sir. No, so he came to show that God is love. Mm-hmm. Think about if you've ever just sat down and read some of the Old Testament, like just the wrath of God mm-hmm. and fire and brimstone stuff. Like, Jesus came to say that, hey, that's not, God is about love. Mm-hmm. God is about forgiveness. Let me show you the way to that forgiveness. Let me show you the way to eternal life. God is an awesome, awesome God mm-hmm. who loves all of his people. And so sent Jesus down to show us that and to show us a way to live and to show us a way to love. And we need that. Mm. And that's why we're all called to be Christ to each other, because we need that. Especially today. Mm. And that's what's crazy. If you look back into the history of when Jesus came, it was a very selfish time.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a time of kings and lords and, you know, just people, high society types basically controlling everything. What do we have now? Mm-hmm. High society types basically controlling everything. It might be a little different because the way that our government works and the way that people have rights is not really indentured servitude and stuff like that. There's not, here in America, there's not people getting stoned to death in the streets. And I say here in America because that still happens. And if that sounds like it upsets me, it does. Mm-hmm. The fact that things don't get talked about, the fact that there's still genocide happening and all that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, to go heavy for a second. But God came down to basically say, like, hey, guys, there's a better way to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's through me that you will accomplish eternal life.
Yeah, and I had that nice reminder almost 5 years ago when the Newtown shooting happened. Mm. I went into work the next morning and, you know, you can't process anything. And still when I think about it, I remember that feeling of just walking around, just feeling like you're in a daze. And I walked into work and the day before, before we went home and started watching the news,
my
coworker and I started decorating the office with Christmas lights.
Wow.
And
that's right, because that's like, what, the first week of December or
yeah,
something
it was
like that?
It was December 14th, I think. So it was,
oh, so it was actually only a couple
it
of
was
weeks.
Like, it was like two yeah, weeks thinking, before yeah. Christmas.
Yep.
But yeah, so I went walking into the office to do some work, and all lights were off, but the only lights that were on were lights around the manger.
Wow.
And I didn't feel comfortable turning on any other lights. I just left. I honestly left that one display lit, and all, you know, got enough light from the computers to do all my work. But it was like that. You know, that was reminder. Yeah. Like you said, when Jesus came down, it was not a good time.
No,
you know, there was this tyrant that was ruling, and he ordered the killing of all these babies, and
mm-hmm.
as soon as he knew that this infant was born, because he was intimidated by this baby.
Well, yeah, it was prophesized.
Right.
Yeah. And
but it's just, you know, when you think this guy is this crazy ruler, all this power, but there's this baby.
Yeah.
This baby is going to be my downfall.
Yep.
But, you know, it's that reminder, like you said, bringing it back, that when Jesus came, things weren't pretty and we needed him and he came.
Yeah. And that's, you know, just turning your life over is probably the scariest thing in the world. It was really scary for me, and this, I know it's going to sound silly and so just little in comparison to people who lose their lives for martyrdom and stuff, but it was really hard for me to hear the call of God that it was time for me to leave my home parish, and it was time for me to move on, and I had prayed about it all year long. It was one of the hardest years of ministry that I've had, because it was like God was just like, hey, your time here is done. It's time to there's parishes out there that need you. And, like, that's crazy to me because, as you know, like, there's not, it's not a huge boastful part of me really at all. And it took a long time for me to realize that I'm good at this. Like, I'm good at youth ministry and everything. And so with basically God putting it on my heart that it was time to move and time to look elsewhere, like, that's a huge, that was so scary. Like, yeah. So, like, I resigned my position from St. Bart's, and it's, like, a couple months before I find the position at Sacred Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, what... All right, God. I answered the first part.
Right.
Where's the second part?
And it's funny because when you look back, you can see all the times that God's worked in your life.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like you know, Moses bringing the people out of Egypt. It's each time after every miracle, they're still freaking out.
Immediately like, are we lost?
Yeah.
I don't think he knows where we're going. Yeah.
We don't know what we're doing. He's like, God's like, look, I got you. Look at all the times I took care of you. But when you're in the moment, you start panicking again.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's scary. So that actually ties in pretty well to our saint. Mm. Our saint of the day is Saint Notburga. Notburga. Burga.
Be ready for the quiz at the end.
Yes. So she's the patroness of the poorest of poor. She was a very poor servant to a landowner. And so this landowner's wife noticed her giving her food to the poor and fired her, shunned her from the land. And so she had to take a job as a servant for a humble farmer. And she was still serving the poor. And when that landowner's wife died, he ended up hiring her back. And she was known for many miracles in her time for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been a scary time when she felt so called to serve to the poor that even after she was kicked out of her house, essentially, like where she lived and was a servant, she was kicked and shunned from the land because she was giving food to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And she still did that even at her next home and where she was working as a humble servant. She still was like ministering to the poor.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, like, this amazing call to serve to the poor, even as a humble servant. You know, how scary must that have been to be just thrown out of where you were and still do it? Like, nope, God, I hear you. I'm going to keep going. I know what I'm supposed to do. you know? So.
Cool.
What you got for news of the week?
Well, last week we did a story about a couple that was going to the hospital because the wife was in labor. And then during their drive, the husband went, well, I'm kind of hungry, and went to the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a part two story because right after that story on Friday, apparently this couple went to a hospital in New Jersey. And while they were driving there was an accident that caused this huge backup on the roadway.
Oh, wow.
And they realized we're not going to be able to get to the hospital in time.
Yeah.
So they pulled into a Burger King parking lot, called 911. Police officers and medics showed up, and they delivered the baby in the car. So that's kind of the first part of this. The second part is the next day, there's another couple bringing their baby or their coming
pregnant
baby
to the hospital.
To the hospital in New Jersey. And then they realized they weren't going to make it in time, stopped at that same Burger King.
Wow.
Called 911. The same police officers and medics showed up and helped deliver the baby. So it was two babies delivered in the same parking lot by the same crew.
Wow. So back-to-back days, same crew, same Burger King. Wow. Can you imagine those Burger King workers? Like... You're not doing this again, are you?
No.
Excuse me. There's a sign that clearly states no giving birth in a restaurant. This has got to be a health code violation.
Right. Only we're allowed to deliver Whoppers over here.
Well,
is that a small fry over there?
That's just, well, it's also just people stopping for fast food on their way. Chick-fil-A, Burger King, next week, you know, McDonald's maybe.
Subway.
Yeah. So as that music starts revving up, that does it for our podcast today. It's going to be a few weeks until you hear from us again.
Big life changes coming for both of us. Huge life changes.
I'm probably having a baby next week. You're getting married next week. So huge things in the Bacon Smiles world.
Sizzling.
Yeah, sizzling. as always, remember to email me if you have topics you want to talk about. If anything that we talked about sparked something, good or bad, I love the discussion. Whatever we talk about, I want to continue the conversation with you guys more and more. So hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. We love that you listen. We want you to participate more and more. The music just keeps getting louder.
Getting hype.
As always, thanks so much for listening. I'm Steve Patera.
Evan Shawmumper.
Keep smiling, and God bless.